Aloha mai kako. Mahalo everyone for joining us tonight. I'm going to wait just a few more minutes to let folks join in, give some time for people to log in, as I know some of the people who requested to testify aren't on yet. So just hang tight. And I would say at about 5:35, we will begin.
Mahalo I tamra. Aloha kako.
Aloha.
Aloha anake. Mahalo for being here. Aloha kepa and onauna.
Aloha.
Oh, good to see you folks. Mahalo.
Hi. Aloha.
Yeah.
Can everyone hear me? Okay, good.
Yes, absolutely. We can hear you. Thank you.
All right.
Hui, Helen. Aloha.
Aloha.
Aloha, my friend. I'm actually sitting in Kepa's old chair on the na'i.
Wonderful. I'm so happy you're here.
Yes.
And I hope all is well and you're doing well with your ohana, my dear.
Mahalo.
I was asked to join. My name is Kule Perez. I'm from the married to the Perez Ohana in Kohala, Hawaii.
Mahalo, Anake Kuule, for joining us. We're so happy to have the Perez Ohana with us today.
Hi, aloha mai.
Aloha.
Yes, thank you so much for joining us. I wanted to also say, I think that it's about time that we can get started. So I would like to ask my colleague Ka'ahiki Solis if she would begin our meeting today with a blessing. Mahalo.
Mahalo, Itamra. Ha'ama kona pua Hawaii. Au oli no ke kuleana aloha. Lo kahipu kamana'o. Ahe pono ke ola. Aloha e. No hoana ke akua ikana hele hele yala ia e ke ki o hu e ka wako oko. Ehe na kino malu I ka leni malu e hoi e ho ulu mai ana o laka I kona mau ka hua o mako nuai. A mama wano. Mahalo.
Mahalo.
Mahalo Ka'ahiki, thank you so much. I prepared a short little PowerPoint today to just introduce everyone to why we're here and give a little bit of background information. And this PowerPoint can be made available if you email me. I'll try to keep it very brief. It's pretty wordy, so I'm only gonna read the important words, but yeah, thanks for sticking with me on that. And let me just get that ready. And that'll give folks a chance to continue to log on as well.
And also we have housekeeping to speak about as well, yeah?
Yes, so I think I might do housekeeping after the PowerPoint.
Okay, perfect.
Mahalo. Yes, but thanks for reminding me and keeping me on track. I do appreciate that. Okay, can you all see me?
Not right. Oh, yeah.
Okay, great. Oh. All right. So thank you for coming to the public meeting tonight to talk about the statewide historic preservation plan. I am Dr. Tamara Luthi, the Shipti ethnographer, and you have already met my wonderful colleague, Ka'ahiki Solis, who is an MA, and she will be helping us tonight. Thank you so much. All right, so the Statewide Historic Preservation Plan is a 5-year strategic plan to help guide historic preservation in the state of Hawaii and inform the activities of SHPTI and other organizations. So we are required to complete this plan to remain eligible for federal funds from the National Park Service. So the purpose of the plan is to bring together historic preservation professionals and interested community members to craft ways to better manage historic properties in our state. So what we're trying to do today is really get a good conversation going with community members to help inform the plan and help us to develop an idea of preservation needs, priorities, goals, challenges, and opportunities. And so this is a very broad type of plan. So anything and everything is welcome as long as it has to do with historic sites. So as I'm sure you are all aware, historic properties include but are not limited to historic buildings, archaeological sites, burials, aviation artifacts, cultural landscapes, historic districts, lo'i, fish ponds, heiau, and traditional cultural properties. So we are required to create a statewide plan, that is, SHPTI is required to create a statewide plan under the National Historic Preservation Act, Section 101B3C, and that helps us remain eligible for funding also from the Federal Historic Preservation Fund. And also we are required to do it under HRS 6E35. So it's a, both a state and a federal mandate. So like I talked about a little bit before, this plan is really meant to be created with input from a variety of different types of organizations, including government agencies, individuals, Native Hawaiian organizations, universities, certified local governments. And so the plan is also meant to direct the activities of these types of organizations and individuals as well. So it's supposed to be, as Dr. Downer said, a plan that you can pick up and think about, hey, how can I implement these through my organization, my firm? So we need a lot of public testimony and broad-based involvement. And so, you know, if you have any questions about what we do with your testimony, my intention tonight is to transcribe everything. I'm going to be recording the meeting. And then if I, all of that will be evaluated pretty closely for common themes that might arise in the testimony and important issues that pop out that we need to address that come up regularly. If I have any intention to use a direct quote from anybody's testimony, I'll ask permission. And then you will be given the opportunity to review your testimony and edit it, redact it, take things out, add clarification, et cetera. And if I don't hear a response, I won't use it because I think it's good to ensure, you know, transparency and trust that we just abide by basic ethnographic ethics. Oh, and the draft preservation plan has to be reviewed by the Hawaii Historic Places Review Board. Once we create a working copy that's been vetted by SHPTI internal staff and we have all our consultation in, then we send it to the review board before we send it to National Park Service. And we're aiming to send it to Park Service by mid-November, but that really depends on how the consultation goes. Okay, this is very blurry and it's a lot of words, so you know we don't have to read all of it, but basically this is from the National Park Service grants manual about the types of individuals we're supposed to reach out to for consultation. So it was clearly not written to be Hawaii specific because we don't have tribes, but this is just sort of broad-based federal guidance. So these were the goals that were developed from the previous plan. And today we really would like input to help refine these goals and talk about ways that we can enact them. So, you know, specific recommendations that we can include, that we can act on and ensure that we're meeting those goals. And then we can look back and say, these are the goals that we set out and how are we doing, and have some way to measure that. So we did request RSVPs for individuals to testify this meeting. We received 22. So I think there's probably going to be time at the end that people can also sign up to testify, but we are going to begin testimony with the individuals who signed up first. If you want to, if you don't get a chance today, or for whatever reason you have additional things to say, you can always write to us at this email address, which I'm going to drop in the chat. There will also be additional future public meetings. So if anyone wasn't able to make it today, this is not the last chance. And you can always submit written testimony to us as well. So hang on, let me just add a few more people who need to be admitted to the room. I don't want them to miss everything.
Awesome. Wow.
So this is the list of individuals who have signed up to testify. So if you're on this list, this is just intended to give you an idea of where you are in the list of testifiers tonight, so you can get your thoughts prepared and know more or less when you're going to be on. So as I mentioned before, I believe we'll probably have time to take additional testimony after this. I think that's the last slide. So I'm going.
And the list is list A and list B, right?
Yes. So list sorry.
The first one will be mana.
Yes. Yeah, so on the left hand side. Yes. And Allison Lewis will be last. So I'm going to stop share screen, and then we're going to discuss some housekeeping issues. So thank you so much for paying attention. I know wordy PowerPoints are extremely boring, but that's just to give us some background. So for testimony today, I just wanted to say that all testimony is welcome as long as it's respectful and conducted with integrity. You know, I know a lot of the people on this call today, and I know that you are extremely passionate about what you do, and there's some very sensitive issues that we're going to be discussing, and you know, let's just try to be mindful of that. So let's try not to make anything personal and profanity. I think it goes without saying that profanity and bullying are not allowed, but I believe everyone here is coming with the correct intentions. So I do trust that everyone will keep that in mind. And so we're all allotted 3 minutes for public testimony, and we're gonna have a 30-second notice. So once you've gotten to 2 minutes, 30 seconds, we'll let you know that we're getting close to the end of the time. And so this is just to be fair and consistent and make sure everyone gets a chance to share their mana'o. You know, we wanna hear from as many people as possible. And like I said, there will be additional meetings, and there might even be time in the end for people to give a second round of testimony too, if we are mindful of the time. And so, like I said, we're just trying to be fair and consistent. And all of this is gonna be transcribed. And if anyone doesn't want their information transcribed, please feel free to email me at that address that I will pop in the chat in a minute. And another little bit of information is if you could all just try to rename yourselves with your first and last name so we know who is on, who wishes to testify. So if you have an institutional affiliation, please do that as well. So the way that you do that is you go up, you click on participants on the bottom in the black banner at the bottom. And then on the right-hand side, there should be this panel where you can see all the folks who are online today, and your name should be at the top. So you take your cursor and you hover over your name and you click on more, and under more, you should have the ability to rename. So just if you could put your full name, I'm so sorry, I have a baby screaming in the background. Apologies. You can just click rename and have your whole name there, and then your organizational affiliation if that is relevant. And then if once we get past the point of the people who RSVP'd after they've given their testimony, then we will open it for the rest of the public. And then once again, we would just ask that you drop in the chat your name, your first and last name, and contact information, like maybe an email address, so that we can, you know, respond to you if we want to use your testimony word for word or something of that nature. So the-
We do that now. Tomorrow,
we will do that after the folks who have RSVP'd have had a chance. Oh, Auntie Puanani Rogers, we spoke. You you will be called directly because you RSVP'd.
Okay.
We will let you know directly when it's your turn. But for everyone else, once that's over, we'll announce it and we'll say we're opening the chat. So at the moment, the chat is only coming to me since I am the host. And so, yes, I think that's all we need to discuss for now, unless Kahiki, I missed anything.
We would just ask that everyone who's not speaking is muted. And if you don't know how to mute it, Tamara, can you explain that so that people can?
Sure. Okay, yeah. So yeah, sorry about that. It's just because sometimes there's like echoing or reverberation. So if you look at your screen and on the bottom left-hand corner, there's a little icon with like a microphone and it says mute. So if you are not the one speaking, just
like how Tamara did right now, she muted herself. So thank you, that's a perfect example.
Yes, exactly. And then you'll be muted. So there's a red slash that goes through it. Oh my gosh, I'm so sorry. And then if you want to turn on or stop your video, there's the stop video icon right next to that to the right. And once again, you can see I will demonstrate. You press on it and then your video will be gone, but your mic might still be going and there's going to be a slash that goes through that. And if anyone has any additional questions, I will try to be monitoring the chat. It gets a little confusing at times, but I will, if there's like a technical thing, I might try respond to that. And yes, and we will do our best to accommodate everybody. So now I will turn it over to Ka'ahiki, who will announce the order of testimony. Thank you.
Okay, mahalo. So the order of testimony will begin this way. List A starts with Mana Caceres. So Mana, you are first up. And up to bat next would be Claire Apana. So I would ask that Mana and Claire prepare. And Mana, it's your turn right now. You can take the floor. Mahalo. Is Mana Caceres on? Do we have Mana Caceres? I don't see him, yeah?
I just got a message from Mana that he did not have time to prepare written testimony. And he would like to submit it for the next community consultation.
Okay,
so we can do that. Unless Mana wants to provide oral testimony, that's fine too. I also got a message that Angela Medeiros did not get an response to her RSVP. So she should also be added to the list. Ikalamai, I'm so sorry about that.
Oh, she's on our list. Angela's on our list, number 18.
Oh, great. Okay, wonderful.
Yes. So we can move on. I'm listed as Angela, but I'm Kapua. Mahalo.
Yeah, Kapua. Okay, mahalo, Kapua. Yes. So let's move on then. Since Mana is going to present his testimony written, let's move to Claire Apana. Claire Apana will be our next testimony. And after Claire Apana, please, Professor Bianca Isaki will be after Claire Apana. Claire, you've got the mic. Thank you.
Thank you. You can hear me? Yes?
Yes, we can hear you. Well, thank you.
Okay. I'd like to speak first on just three areas. One is the subject of archaeologists and archaeology oversight by the State Historic Preservation Department. We had a contested case. We had a contested case this year, which involved SHPD. And SHPD has no rules, regulations for holding a contested case. So it went to the DLNR. This is absolutely not acceptable. They should make their own rules so that they can hear their own case. So what happened is the person who came as the key witness for the other side was Alan Downer of SHPD, who should have been holding the case. Extremely unacceptable. Also, it was about an archaeologist's permit, an archaeology company's permit, excuse me. Now, it took like almost 2 years for SHPD to work their things out and for the state to give us a contested case. By the time we got it, the second year was already up. And one of the rulings was that we would not be able to contest the permit another time for the next year, although we presented evidence that indeed this company still was not complying with the conditions of the permit. So I would say that's one thing that needs to be changed and taken care of. Second, the archaeology field itself. During our case, Dr. Downer testified that they have no oversight over the archaeologists except if they turn in their reports or not. which they don't even monitor, whether they are up to speed, whether they are compliant, whether they've made their changes, whether they've changed something from a draft monitoring report, whether they've turned in their reports after doing monitoring. None of this is done, and nobody's monitoring SHPD, to the great detriment of our burials and sacred sites, and to the great detriment of the Lahui, because it is extremely emotionally hard to deal with incompetent procedures and departments and people in departments who may say they're doing the best they can, but are restricted by what they can do. And that is absolutely unacceptable. I believe that you should have more input from people like me who suffer from having to deal with these things over and over again. I feel for the archaeologists who work for the SHPD because they are overworked and have too much to do, but yet no answer, no solution is forthcoming. I believe you need input from the community, and there is no place for me to give you input, and I have tried. You need to have an actual organization and professional standards for the field of archaeology. You need to institute these so that we are not left with people on the ground responsible and making decisions on our sacred sites who are really unqualified. And this happens all the time with companies like SCS. It happens also with cultural surveys. They don't have an archaeologist there. They don't have a master's degree even person. They have people who are really archaeology technicians. That's really what they're qualified to do. And SHPD allows this. And our cultural sites, our burials, and our Kanaka people suffer greatly because of this. I think that it would be very easy for you to institute the National Parks archaeology standards. You have already have an entire program listed. And National Parks is doing the oversight of SHPD. They should be using what they have. I would also like to say something about the Burial Council. The Burial Councils, Alan Downer said they don't have anything to do but helping Burial Council schedule. That is not what is written in your on the website. The Burial Council needs to be supported fully by the DLNR and SHPD. They are the decision makers. They are the ones who are telling you what the Kanaka voice is for burials. And yet, when they make decisions, it goes nowhere. And often SHPD opposes them.
So, pardon me.
You want to sit on it.
Thank you. Yes. Thank you so much, Claire Apana, for your testimony. I'm sorry to cut you off. We have a lot of people waiting in line. So I very much appreciate your Ike, and I'm sorry to cut you off.
I would like to know when I'm going to get to be able to see the transcript.
We will let you know when it's completed, and it will be sent to people that request it, and those when it's finished.
Okay, will that be before or after you have made a plan?
It'll be before November 2022.
The transcript should be done probably by the end of next week, and I can send it to you as soon as it's done.
Okay, I would like to see that.
The plan will be available for November 2022. So we're trying to get everything completed before then. So that's why I said what I said. So mahalo for your testimony very much. And if you have more to say, you're welcome to testify again.
Okay, thank you.
Thank you, Claire, so much for your testimony. And next we have Professor Bianca Isaki. Professor, are you available online with us?
Can you hear me?
Yes, we can. Thank you so much. You have 3 minutes. Mahalo.
Aloha kakou, and especially to you, Auntie Claire. I work with her in a lot of things. She's a heavy hitter, very important person. But I am here as the Mauna Kea Legal Director for Kahea, the Hawaiian Environmental Alliance. We're a nonprofit that's been in Hawaii operating since 2000. We were started by Vicky Holt Takamine, but for pretty much the entire life of our organization, we've been advocating for the protection of Mauna Kea. And that is the focus of my testimony. We think the plan should include as a goal, objective, and action, the designation of the entirety of Mauna Kea from the 6,000 foot elevation to the summit under all significance criteria and as a traditional cultural property for the state and national registers. It's been nearly a quarter of a century since SHPD determined that the Mauna Kea summit region is eligible for the National Historic Register, which was in 1999. And we want to stress that Mauna Kea should not be just included in the state and federal registers as historic significance, but also as a TCP. SHPD at the time determined three specific summit features met the criteria for designation as a TCP, but Dr. Thomas King, who is credited with the concept of developing the TCP, opined the entire slope region of Mauna Kea meets the eligibility criteria for inclusion in the National Register as a TCP. And then there's also state and federal documents, and I've listed them in my written testimony, that opines that all of the lands over the 6,000 foot elevation should be recognized as a TCP. For more than a decade, the University of Hawaii, which is a sublessee of Mauna Kea lands, and in plans that they've reviewed and approved by the State Board of Land and Natural Resources annually, has repeatedly affirmed that it will support an application for designation of the Mauna Kea Summit as a TCP. And the university is just one of dozens of entities and thousands of stakeholders who have identified the need to protect Mauna Kea for its historic, cultural, spiritual, religious, and archaeological as a resource. For these reasons, we think that the entirety of that summit slope from 6,000 up should be designated a fragmented project by project review of proposed land uses on Mauna Kea, risks missing the larger cultural, spiritual, and religious landscape. We also want to note that the earlier statewide historic preservation plan recognized the need for to add more sites to the state inventory, especially TCPs. And my last point is that the survey level work is already accomplished. Experts have concluded TCP designation is appropriate, and stakeholders, whether or not they agree with astronomy development, do not dispute that Mauna Kea has a high level of traditional and cultural significance. So thank you.
Thank you so much, Dr. Professor Bianca Isaki with Mauna Kea. We appreciate your thoughts so much. The next we have I apologize before for making mistakes about names. That's very pono'ole, so ehui kalamai. Luciane de Naye. Oh, Luciane. I'm sorry if I'm saying it incorrectly. Are you online, dear, to testify? N-A-I-E. D-N-A-I-E is the last name, and the first name, L-U-C-I-E-N-N-E. Okay, we'll move on. Our next testifier is Kaniloa Kamaunu, and after Kaniloa is Johanna Kamaunu. So Kaniloa, are you on board to testify, dear? Aloha e Kaniloa Kamaunu. Once, twice, three times a lady. Okay, Kaniloa, you can submit written testimony or come back to it. Next, Johanna Kamaunu. Is Johanna Anake Johanna Kamaunu online today? Johanna Kamaunu? Okay, once, going twice, three times, moving on. Johanna, please submit. Kalamai?
If we, I think that if we see any of these folks log on, we should give them an opportunity.
Absolutely.
Really open to the rest of the public. Thank you.
Absolutely. We'll do a run back. We'll do a ho'i after all of the testimony, the RSVP testimonies are given. We'll ho'i back and we'll see if anybody from the list that didn't get a chance to testify, we'll give them a chance at that time. Thank you, dear. All right. So Anake Johanna Kamaunu and Kaniloa are not available. Next, we have Adriel Lamb. Adriel Lamb, you've got the floor, dear. You have 3 minutes. Thank you.
Hi, good evening. Thanks for the opportunity to submit an oral statement. I submitted a proposal, written proposal. This I'm very new to this, but it was something that we've been trying to do with our group, and I think it's a community solution to something that's been hard to work with, I guess, in the past couple of years. My proposal is for a MIS Veterans Park in Haiku Valley. And I guess, you know, in the 3 minutes I can explain this is that there's a lot of cultural, historical resources in Haiku Valley in Kaneohe that, you know, frankly, we don't really know about. Living in Kaneohe, we, for one thing, I would say like the Haiku Stairs, we never knew what it was for. We knew it was there or something was back there as a top secret military facility. But until GPS came along and they could declassify it, it really made a big difference in the prosecution of World War II, being able to, for the military to communicate from Hawaii all the way to Tokyo Bay. But that's only one part of the Haiku Valley. A lot of contributions, even the 600 year history of cultivation in the valley that we can learn from, but we really don't know. I know there's other groups that are getting involved with this, and I know this is just a small part of it, but hope to be part of a larger solution of, you know, preserving Haiku Valley and learning from that, not just the past, but, you know, for a future understanding of how we can blend our histories together and move forward with that. So I guess maybe leave it at that. I'll just leave with one last point. I'm involved here because I'm the post commander of MIS Veterans of Foreign Wars 110. I'm MIS Veterans of Hawaii. I was not specifically classified as MIS Veterans, but one of my friends, family friends from a long time ago, asked me to join the group. But his stories in particular is interesting because we always knew him as a family friend for 50 years, but I didn't know that he was a World War or Korean War hero who did something specific in the Korean War, but he couldn't talk about it. And that's what we want to kind of remember in this MIS Veterans and the kind of things that represent the Valley is a lot of things that contribute to our safety and security of society, but we couldn't talk about it. If we can't talk about it, we won't remember it. So if we can find a way to remember it and talk about it, maybe we can learn from it for our future. So thank you for the opportunity and I appreciate the opportunity to revise my oral statements too. So aloha.
Thank you, Adriel, and thank you for your service to our country. We appreciate you. Let's move on to Ellie Cochran. Is Ellie on board? She said there was a maybe. She might be testifying. So if she is online here, Ellie?
She may not be able to make it tonight, but I did see that Lucienne just logged on. So I think that maybe we can give her an opportunity to speak now. Mahalo.
All right, Lucienne. Are you on line now, Lucienne? Denaye?
I think she may be having some internet trouble. So let's give her another couple seconds.
All right. Do we see her pop up yet? Or should we go on and then give her the next opportunity?
I think she's here. Lucienne, are you here? Would you like to?
I am. I'm sorry. I've had difficulty getting on.
Oh, I'm so glad to see you. Thank you.
We can hear you great. So you have your 3 minutes, dear. Thank you for joining us.
Thank you. I probably will not turn on my video because I'm it's been a little sketchy. Let me find my comments here.
All right. And then if you don't turn on the video, I'll just give you an audio of the 30 seconds that at the end of the 30 seconds at the end of your 3 minutes. Thank you so much.
Thank you. So my name is Lucienne Dine. I'm testifying on behalf of the Sierra Club Maui Group. We have weighed in on historic preservation plans for all of the 20 years that I've been on the board. And we hope you'll listen to some of our hands-on suggestions. We need a better mechanism to update stale and inadequate AIS documents. Citizens now have to just hound agencies to get accurate and complete AIS studies. Wailea 670 is an example here on Maui. I mean, we've been at this since 2004, and the study now it's all accepted by State Historic. It's missing many, many important sites. And the mechanism, you can't meet the deadlines. We've had to review 15 different preservation plans because the AIS was never properly done an addendum. So they're trying to fix it in the preservation plan. It's just a broken process. We'd also like to see preservation plans embrace things from a cultural landscape concept. Right now, it seems State Historic is okay with just having little islands in these private developments, even if they're immensely significant sites, ceremonial sites and so forth. They're just, a little island here and a little island there. There's this project in McKenna, the H2 one. It's a poster child